excited to get that $800 Middle Earth complete collection.
Oh gosh, yes, I have to have the extended editions of all the Hobbit. I haven't actually seen the extended edition for the last two.
I have them.
You have? Wait, you bought the extended edition for Battle of Five Armies?
It was a weird force of habit.
What could they have added to that movie?
I'm more interested when I finally do open it. A year later, is to watch the documentaries about it.
Those are always pretty good, although they're kind of depressing on the first Hobbit one. It's like, here, watch Ian McKellen cry.
Yeah, that was weird.
So, yeah. So, no is my answer. To the Exploring Bro podcast for August 26, 2016. Apparently, what did I say the wrong one year? Did I say 3,000 or something,
Chris? 2019, I think.
Yeah,
said
Chris, so. Yeah, I said 2019. You didn't even notice, apparently.
But hey, happy belated 8th birthday, Exploring Bro podcast.
Oh, yeah, how about that? 8 years, all right.
Who'da thunk?
I remember when I turned 8. When I turned 8, we went to the Polynesian in Disney World.
Segway!
Holy shit, man, yeah. So yeah, we're doing a monorail loop memories today is what I would have come up with for our show. So we're going to talk about the three hotels in Disney World that are on the monorail loop, and the monorail loop's important because Magic Kingdom's on the monorail loop. So if you're on the if your hotel is on the monorail loop, you can just take the monorail to the theme park and to the Ticket Transportation Center, which has another monorail that goes to Epcot. So, and these are because of that like prime real estate. These are like three of like the nicest hotels.
Oh, for sure.
Typically speaking. So we'll talk about those, and if there's anything else we want to talk about, we'll get to that in the special song. But let's kind of go, like you're leaving the Magic Kingdom, right? So you're good. So the first stop would be after the Ticket Transportation would be the Contemporary.
We are entering Disney's Contemporary Resort, where on the Grand Canyon Concourse, you can start your day with Chef Mickey's character breakfast. For a panoramic view of Walt Disney World, the California Grill, located on the 15th floor, offers an exquisite array of fine dining experiences, with each meal prepared on stage as a specialty of the house.
Which is also nice to talk about because it was...
Is this after the Ticket and Transportation Center?
Yeah.
It's before the Ticket and Transportation
Center. Is it? You're right. I always think it's after.
I was like, what?
I always think it's after. My bad. So, yeah. So, before the Ticket Trip, the very first thing you would go to is the Contemporary, which was an opening day resort. One of two, along with, well, three, if you count the golf resort or whatever it was, but along with the Polynesian, which is also on the loop, we'll get to next. But the Contemporary, its theme is kind of interesting, because it's like, it's not quite as, like, singularly themed. It's like modern, right?
Yeah, that's just the theme, modern.
It's like mod, right. And it's like, it's weird, because it's like, now it's a retro modern, but it still is, like, fine. It's not like, you know, like, something's like... Like Tomorrowland, for instance, like used to be all like rockets and everything, and it kind of got old and they had to change it. Contemporary never really had that problem. It aged very well.
Yeah, well,
and they updated, sure.
Sure. But what I think makes it work is for all this kind of modernism design, that Mary Blair mural in the main concourse, I think kind of helps ground it in a weird way.
Right.
If that makes sense.
And that's kind of like the Star Attraction here is the concourse, which is a couple floors up from the main, from like the lobby.
Four, I believe.
Yeah. So it's a few floors up from the lobby is the concourse, and it's just this big open area with the shops, the restaurants.
Is it called the Grand Canyon Concourse?
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, it has the arcade there now, and the monorail literally goes through the building into this concourse, which is always a really neat...
That never gets old. It really doesn't.
Oh, it's so cool. When you're just hanging out there, you see the monorail going in and going out. It's pretty neat. So, We went here quite a bit, especially when we were like a little bit younger. I think we went to this one for quite a while. It was quite a while. This was my favorite one.
Yes,
that we went to for quite a bit. And when we were kids, I think the star attraction was the Fiesta Fun Zone,
which was the in my head. This arcade was the size of a football field.
It was
probably
gigantic,
was not that big,
and it was on the same floor as the lobby. It was like after the lobby, you turn left, and there's like a little like
quick service thing. And...
But then this giant arcade.
Yeah,
like,
duck pin bowling alley.
Bowling lane.
There was that, remember that one arcade game? It was like some weird space shooter thing, but it was like its own little room.
Right, it was just, and I mean, it had all the mainstays and everything. But
yeah, remember it had like the really good Virtua racing machine?
Yeah.
The one that had like pressure pads that when you took turns,
they had this
like
weird,
you
like,
pushed into the seat.
It had this weird on rail shooter where you sat.
Rail chase.
And like it was like a simulator, like the thing shook the whole time. And then they had this at a lot of the arcades at the time, that tank game. It was like always four versus four people or two versus two.
Tokyo's Zone.
Tokyo's Tank something, yeah. And that was super
honestly,
fun.
You know that insert coin sound that Virtua Fighter makes?
Oh, yeah.
To this day, I associate that sound with both the game in its place at the Fiesta Fun Center. Mm-hmm. Something about that sound just always takes me back to exactly where that machine was.
It's funny how arcades, even when arcades were kind of done as like a super mainstream thing, they lived on in Disney for quite
some time,
because that's where kids would go. And really, it wasn't until the mobile games, when all the kids had their games on their phones and didn't care anymore.
Yeah,
really.
Like, I mean, Tomorrowland used to have a really big arcade, like, which is mostly just retail space
now. Now, a lot of places have much smaller arcades, or they just don't have them at all anymore. It's funny how back then, it was like, where's the pool, where's the arcade? That's what you cared about as kids. Yeah. And it's like, whatever, there's the pool. So, but yeah, the Fiesta Fun Zone was super interesting.
Speaking of pool, I can't really clearly remember the original pool, but it got refreshed like maybe 10, 15 years ago.
It's not like the greatest pool.
Slide.
It's a nice pool. It's not crazy. No,
that one time we were there, Goofy and Max came and swam in the pool. Remember they like rode up on, they were like tubing on a jet ski?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That was wild.
Mm-hmm. Then you go to so let's kind of get to the restaurants a little bit. First off, the one that is gone now, the Concourse Steakhouse. Rest in peace.
Good breakfast,
good steak, pretty good steak, really. They opened up the new one called The Wave, which we haven't even been to. It's like a vegetarian.
It's where the Fiesta Fun Center used to be.
Boo.
Still cuts too deep.
Boo. But Chef Mickey's is there. This is kind of like, this is the main, this is probably like the most quintessential character breakfast on the whole property.
Yeah, well, because it is like the Mickey one. Five characters are there.
Right, and I mean, I tell you what, don't go unless you have kids are going to appreciate it. Like,
yes.
It's loud.
It's loud, annoying, but the kids are having fun.
Right.
Yeah,
you'll have fun if your kids are having fun, but if you go there as, like, you know, four adults.
Yeah, they're always like, oh, it's so annoying. I was like, you went to Chef Mickey's.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
I'll tell you what I liked. Remember when they were building Chef Mickey's? They had the temporary Disney Adventures Club.
Yeah, it was like all Chippendale Rescue Rangers themed.
Right, and it was very haphazardly put up. There was like a lot of props from that old Aladdin temporary restaurant also just hanging around there. I thought that was great.
But in its spot is a really neat Fantasia-themed gift shop, which I like.
Oh, yeah, that is right, yeah.
But, of course, the main attraction of the Contemporary on the very top floor is, in fact, the California Grill, which recently went under a fairly hefty renovation.
Yeah, I haven't been there since it got renovated.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they updated, like, the carpets and the painting and everything, but the big thing is the windows are now floor-to-ceiling. So you always had a pretty great view, and they had, like, a great, like, observation deck to watch the fireworks from. But now, like, it's enhanced by having, like, complete glass on the walls, which is really nice. The big thing there has always been the open stage kitchen, so you can, like, watch them making your food. The big thing they have now is, like, this, like, oak-burning oven. So they actually do flatbreads in there. They do an oak-roasted filet, which was fantastic.
Now, and I know... For you and a lot of people, sushi's always been a big part of the restaurant.
Yeah, well, for a long time, this woman was the sushi chef there who, depending where you read, she was considered one of the top three in the world. Fortunately, I did get the sushi there one time before she retired. She retired at, like, when they did the remodel. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Oh, my God. Every piece in that plate, I don't even know what half of it was. It was delicious.
So have you got sushi since a replacement or no?
No, Jessica and I went there on our honeymoon, and like I said, I got that oak roasted filet, and I forget what she got.
Okay,
but
I remember
a long time ago we got those souffles.
Yeah, that was like the first time I've ever even seen a souffle.
But they like it was weird the way they made it, because like they made them like earlier that day and like made them fall on purpose and then chilled them. It was really weird.
It was very good. But yeah, I mean this was kind of one of the first experiences I had with like, you know, nice dining as a kid. Really, mm-hmm.
Although.
Oh God, the holidays.
So, okay, so here this is the advice I always give people: if you're gonna go to Disney on a holiday, don't eat a nice meal that day. Because all the restaurants, maybe this isn't the case, we haven't been for a holiday in a while, but they kind of go to a limited fixed menu because of the volume.
So many people.
So we went to California Grill, and it was just, you could get turkey or you could get carved roast beef. Yeah. Like, that was the menu. It's like, okay, so like we all ordered. And you and Chris were like 11 and 12 at the time, maybe? But they like...
Look, we were big kids, we could eat.
They just assumed and brought you the kids' portion, which was like... a cut of turkey.
I was like, what the hell?
No, well, that was one of the infamous child Mike Minotti quotes where after dinner you just announce, the food just made me hungrier.
Really? You know how it is? Like when you're starving, you have like a little bit of food. You're like, oh my God.
Like an appetizer.
Yeah, what did we do? I think we went to McDonald's afterwards.
Something. We got you food somewhere. Maybe just in the park. I forget what we did.
Yeah, but don't go for holidays. But that's a, I mean, it's hard to imagine staying at the Grand Flor- at the Grand Flor- the Contemporary and not eating there. I haven't been to the new tower at all, and I know they have a Top of the World Lounge there, which is what the
just for the DVC members. Yeah,
that used to be called Top of the World Lounge, where the California Grill is. Yeah. Hard to believe that wasn't always there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, are you ready to move on?
Yeah. So, hop the monorail.
Located between Disney's Grand Floridian and Polynesian resorts is Disney's Wedding Pavilion. Couples may exchange vows in a fairy tale setting, complete with the picturesque backdrop of Cinderella Castle. Experience a South Seas island adventure at Disney's Polynesian Resort. Inside the Great Ceremonial House, you can enjoy breakfast with Minnie Mouse or a unique dining experience at Ohana. Other evening entertainment includes the Polynesian Luau Dinner Show and the Neverland Club, a supervised dinner buffet for children.
Get on the monorail, go through the Transportation Ticket Center now.
Yes.
Maybe take the loop around Epcot for shits and giggles, and then now you're in the Polynesian, which is... Again, we went there a lot when we were really young. Then we, like...
guys refused to go. Well, I wanted to go
I became all about the Contemporary. But we went there a lot when I was really young.
Uh-huh.
Went there for my 8th birthday. And then for a while we didn't go. And then about the last wave of, like, our family trips, when, like, we were also kind of, like, living together in college, we went to the Polynesian for a good deal of them.
We remember we had the same room 2 years in a row. We remember the room number because right outside it was a hammock.
And also, those rooms were nice. Probably won't be as nice now because I think the bungalows are in the way.
Hammock's gone. I checked.
Right. So very upsetting. This is another hotel that's just went through a lot of renovation. So it's actually very different than kind of what I remember.
Yeah, the lobby is completely changed. So
when I think of the lobby, I think of this very large, like, foliage waterfall thing in the middle.
Gone.
There's just now much more open.
This little centerpiece thing in the middle.
I get the idea. So make it more open and less congested. But I kind of hurts.
If you didn't know, then you walk in like, wow, this is really beautiful. But if you've been there before, there's this little thing in the back of your head, like, I miss the giant waterfall.
I just miss, like, this. I always associate that sound of falling water with that lobby.
Right, right. So this resort, we should say, is obviously has, like, a kind of tropical Hawaiian sort of feel to it. It's very spread out, unlike Contemporary, which is mostly the main building, and there are some smaller buildings.
Yeah, but even in the Contemporary, it's like, you don't want to be in a smaller building.
No, you want that main
and
building.
It probably doesn't matter.
No, yeah. But it is, like, right on the water. So, again, this is my problem with those bungalows. Like, yeah, staying in one of those would be amazing, but let's face it, who's really going to? And I really feel like it screws up all the sight lines. Like, you can't sit on the beach and watch the fireworks anymore.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of
walk down to the pier now.
Yeah, I think that was weird.
Well, but, I guess, I mean, they would shoot up over the bungalows. You could see the fireworks.
Yeah, but you can't sit on the beach. Yeah, there's no beach.
No, well, they used to be nice just kind of walking down the beach, going in a hammock and all that
stuff. Yeah.
I remember the 1 year we had that, I was just laying on the hammock for a couple hours just watching the ferry taking people back and forth between Magic Kingdom and the Ticket Transportation Center at night with all the lights on. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
Fantastic. So Polynesian doesn't have a lot of fine dining. They do have the luau, which people either love or hate.
Yeah, people are... And I'll tell you what, last time we did luau, I didn't care for it too much.
No, I enjoyed it because I was 21 and it was unlimited Bud Light. Why.
And it seems like something that would be my thing. I think I might like it more now.
Right.
But at the time, I was just like... It was, well, you know what it was? At least that version of it, they were trying very hard to put some kind of, like, narrative around it that wasn't really doing much for me. And it was kind of slowing it down. I'm like... I remember just thinking, like, when are they going to get to the fire dancer? Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I remember liking the Mickey luau a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't think they have that anymore.
Right. I think it's just one luau now.
But then the restaurant there, the big one, is Ohana, which...
Which is it's a bit more family-friendly than, like, say, the California Grill.
Well, it's an all-you-can-eat family-style meal where they literally come up to your table with these giant skewers of meat. And they're just like, you want some pork? It's like, yeah. And they just, like, scrape some off.
It's great, but I don't like... Again, it's fine to, you know, entertain the kids, but what they do is they literally have, like, this girl screaming, getting the kids to follow her around like a conga line.
There's a conga line. They all run around.
It gets a little loud. Yeah, it gets, like, all right.
It's a little hectic. It's a little hectic.
There's also the Kona Cafe, though, which, while not, like, top, you know, kind of tier, it's actually, like, a very good hidden little gem.
Yeah, people say it's one of the best steaks on property.
Now, a big reason why this is the place I have to go to the next time I'm there is because they opened up a Trader Sam's there.
Trader Sam's Grog Grotto, and it is fantastic.
And you've been there. And so, for a little background, Trader Sam's was a bar they opened about, 5 years ago now in
Something
Disneyland?
Like that.
It's just a little bar they opened up at the Disneyland Hotel. And it's interesting because...
It holds, like, 50 people.
Right, it's small.
It's tiny.
But it's a tiki bar, but it's like a Disney tiki bar. It's not, and I don't mean like, you know, Mickey and stuff. It's just heavily themed and like really cool. And like, it's my favorite place in the world. I love it. And they opened, and it was so successful, they opened up one in the Polynesian.
Yeah.
And you've been there.
So it's very similar. The big difference is instead of the California's where it's like the wraparound bar, it's just like a straight bar against the back. More actual tables and seating, but still can't hold more than 60 people in there. They actually have a lot of stuff from now defunct Disney attractions in there. So a tentacle from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is above the bar from the giant sea monster. And actually, quote unquote, pours rum when you order the Kraken, I think is the drink. The Aoa animatronic from Tiki Room under new management is up there. And when someone orders an Aoa, she comes to life.
That's great.
I mean, it's fantastic. And the nice thing, too, is what they did do, there is a much larger outdoor section that's still considered part of the bar. So you lose the theming, but you're sitting outside. It's by the water.
You can order.
There's a nice little waterfall. Full menu plus one. They call it the Lanai. There's one Lanai exclusive drink that is actually based on the Dole Whip.
Oh, there you go.
It's a good way to get
that. Might be worth noting too, that you can get Dole Whips at the Polynesian.
Yes, you can get Dole Whips at the Polynesian, and they used to let you self serve. Once Dole Whips started becoming a thing, they remodeled that little location. They're now behind the counter, but yes.
But this is one of my favorite resorts just to kind of walk around the grounds too.
Gorgeous at night, with they have like gaslit torch lamps.
Yes, I love
up and
that
everything.
Stuff. Like I'm kind of a sucker for all that tiki theming in general, like that Americanized tiki theming. Like it's almost got a little, you know, cheesy or whatever. But I'm all about it.
Also, the pool was renovated since we were last there. They were working on it still when I was on my honeymoon. I don't know how radically
it
changed.
Nice
it's like a zero depth entry. It's got like a water slide that goes down a volcano.
Yeah, you know, that's all the stuff you need. But yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I think a Polynesian is good too because I think it's a good mix of like having a lot of stuff to do for kids, but also kind of, you know, adult friendly.
It's also neat about Polynesian, depending on which building you're staying in, you might actually be faster to walk to the ticket transportation center than back to the main building to get on the monorail. Which is kind of nice because then you can take the ferry, you can take the express monorail, or it's really easy to get to Epcot that way.
So what's our next stop? The Venetian? Oh, they never built
that. Oh, they didn't build that. What was the other one?
The Venetian was Asian? Supposed to be built between. The Asian was supposed to be built where the Grand Floridian is, and the Persian was going to be built on Bay Lake.
Yeah.
So those are, if you want to look into those are three hotels that they heavily promoted at one point or another that they never built. But it is funny how, like, for a while, the theme was going to all be, like, the Polynesian. Like, there's going to be three other ones like that. And, I'll tell you what. If you had to ask me which of those four would I would want the Polynesian. So, it works out pretty well, I guess.
Right.
So, anyways, now we're back in the monorail. Now we're at the Grand Floridian, which is, it's...
amazing.
Right. It's kind of the flagship. Nice.
Coming up on the Lagoon side is Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. This picturesque Victorian-themed resort provides a taste of turn-of-the-century Florida, with the modern conveniences of a full-service spa and health club. You can enjoy breakfast or dinner with the Disney characters at 1900 Park Fair, or dine on the shores of Seven Seas Lagoon at Narcoossee's. Citrico's in the main building specializes in a mix of market-fresh Floridian and Mediterranean meals that change with the season. Each night here on the Seven Seas Lagoon, we present our Electrical Water Pageant. This shimmering musical parade features King Neptune and other creatures of the deep.
It's, you know what, it's nice, but it's also like nice. Like everyone's always nice at the Disney, you know, parks and hotels and stuff. They seem especially nice at the Grand Floridian.
If you got to work there every day, would you be in a pretty good
Everyone's in a great mood.
Yeah, it really is. It's hard to put your finger exactly what it is, but there's just something about that resort. Like, it comes down, like when you walk in, there's always that old guy in like the white kind of suit with the hat, like saying hi to you. And that's his job. He just sits at the door and says hi to you.
And he's very nice.
Boy, talk about retirement goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, it's a very open lobby. It's very...
gorgeous lobby.
Well, it's elegant, but not without feeling stuffy
or like,
oh, don't touch this. You know, it feels comfortable.
Right.
It's comfortably elegant. There's a guy on a piano, and there's, you know, the chandelier and the birdcage.
Or sometimes the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra is playing upstairs.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's just, you know, it's just very calming and nice in there. And again, the layout, it's interesting because it's kind of a mix between the other two where there is this big central building, but then there are these other small buildings that are all kind of equal.
And it's not, in fact, the central building, it's nice because you're like right by the monorail because it's in that building, but it's not the one that has the best views. It's not waterfront or anything like that.
I also think it's interesting that it's like, you know, they don't have like the main gift shop on that lobby. It's like on that second floor by the monorail more so. Right, I guess right. What
makes sense.
Yeah, what Contemporary does. Well, there's like a lot of shops up there, right?
There is. There's a lot of like kind of high-end boutique things that are not like Disney exclusive. I don't know their names.
It's like, you know, being like a dress or a suit and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
There's perfume. That. There's like a bath luxury store. There's a salon. My wife got her hair done on our honeymoon. Mm-hmm.
So before we get to like the nice restaurants, the Gasparilla, man. And there's still this.
Rest in peace.
Oh, is it really gone?
Well, it's still there, but it's not same thing.
And now the Contemporary Arcade was obviously the best, but I liked the Gasparilla for like being as small as it was always a great arcade.
Yeah, they had obscure weird shit. They had that awesome Mario 3 pinball machine.
Right.
They had that weird
live action.
No, what was that hologram game?
What hologram game?
You remember the hologram game? I had no idea how to play it.
I don't know.
But it had like holograms. I had no idea. I just kept dying, but it looked amazing.
But it always had great games. It had Virtual Cop, Trolls in Time. It was a good time.
That Alien vs. Predator game?
Yeah, and you can get cheeseburgers. I mean, you know, that's nice.
Now they have very good flatbreads in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how in general everything used to be just cheeseburgers. Now all these places have kind of actual things.
Right, right.
It's funny that change happened at one point or another. So kind of getting to the rest of the restaurants.
Should we go bottom up?
Let's save our favorite for last. Because I think you know what I mean.
Okay. Well, the first thing there is the Grand Floridian Cafe, which is actually...
Which, I'll tell you what...
is one of my favorite places to get breakfast.
It's not... Oh, it's so nice.
It's not, like, over the top, but it's good.
Right.
It's very beautiful inside.
I mean, actually, unless you have kids that, like, you really want to do the whole character meet and greet thing with, I would rather go there than 1900 Park Fair.
Well, again, I guess we should say, we're not huge breakfast people.
We aren't.
We really aren't. I just need, like, a bowl of cereal or some fruit, and I'm good to go. But they have really good chocolate chip pancakes.
But it's very nice. It's low key. It's relaxing.
Very good place
and
to go.
Lancaster Park Fair is interesting because it's a character buffet breakfast like Chef Mickey's, but it's just not quite as chaotic. But it's like not quite like people aren't screaming and singing, but it's still ultimately there's a lot of children. You know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's like it's not Mickey and Minnie. It's like all these English characters.
Yeah, breakfast is like Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland.
And like Winnie the Pooh
is dinner.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why it's all English since we're in the Grand Floridian anyways, but...
Yeah, it always has this weird Victorian thing going for it.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it's fine there. I mean, the quality of the food in these breakfast buffets are always, they're always pretty good. It's not like, oh man, this is...
The best I've ever had. Sure. Yeah, it's like, for a buffet, this is really good.
The nice thing is that, that giant clock thing with like the
Big Bertha
with the little
it's the Calliope that used to be in the middle of a old carousel. I think it still works.
Yeah.
It always was kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the little things come out and play music and it's nice.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's definitely nice in there. We haven't been to
Citricose
in a long time.
The last time we were there, we were all young and fell asleep because we were tired.
Right.
Which I think our parents appreciated.
I think it's fine, but the problem with Citricose is that it's like the same level as one of our favorite restaurants in the whole area. Maybe our favorite, the Narcoossee's.
Mm-hmm. Which... Well, I know Jeff Parsons is a big Citricose fan. If he were here, he could tell us what makes it amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt it is. We just haven't... Again... Citricose is there, but right there is my favorite restaurant in Disney World, and that is Narcoossee's.
Right, and so Narcoossee's is not in the main building. It's actually in its own little building by the water, right by the dock. And it's just this beautifully sort of, Victorian water theme? It's very neat in there.
It's the most Floridian feeling thing in the
right,
Grand Floridian.
There's a lot of, like, what do you call that, kind of like glass... like mosaic. There's a lot of like glass blue mosaics in there. It's almost like a carousel. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
I don't think that's the word you want.
What, mosaic?
Yeah, a mosaic is like where you take a bunch of pieces of glass and put them together.
Yeah, they kind of have that a bit in there. No, you don't remember that.
Like when you're walking through Sleeping Beauty Castle or
Cinderella Castle, I know what a mosaic is. Okay, I think there's a little bit more mosaic than you think.
I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm a mosaic. Okay, then what? Can you describe the theme in there?
Okay, so, I mean, it's primarily a seafood restaurant, which is odd because we're not big seafood people.
Right.
But when you walk in, they have, like, a kind of stage kitchen. You can see kind of, like, the finishing area when you first walk in, which is cool because you watch that while you're waiting for your table. It's, like, a semicircular, the building's circular, but, like, the publicly accessible part is, like, semicircular. The middle is, like, lowered down, and that's where the bar is. Most of the seats you can see out into the water, and then they have a deck outside. So again, great place to watch fireworks.
It's my favorite place to watch the fireworks that's not in the park.
Yeah, also the water pageant goes by there as well. The water
pageant is so cool there.
But again, I don't know if by being virtue of being in the Grand Floridian, but the staff there is just fantastic. There was the one year we were there, and the head chef, he just kind of sits in the finishing station. He just kind of checks all the dishes before they go out. Well, our dad struck up a conversation with him, and they were just talking about the restaurant, and dad was learning a bit from him. And we sat down to our table, and we got our drink orders, and they brought out this huge seafood sampler to us, compliments to the chef.
That's so good.
And again, we're not big seafood people, but we're eating, like, you were eating mussels and clams.
Are good. I love mussels now. I was like,
what is going on? Mike doesn't eat this stuff.
I'm a big fan of a lot of seafood now because of that.
Honestly, yeah, that's why. Oh, so, like, God. That was cool. When we were there in our honeymoon, you know, we had the pins. They saw that. Oh, they were bringing us champagne and desserts. God. It was phenomenal.
It was good. I've had some great stuff there. I had, like, this fancy version of chicken and noodles there the one time where it's like, the noodles were kind of, like, a little gnocchi.
Yeah, like, more like a dumpling.
And it was, like, these, like, unbreaded tenders and this, like, sauce. Oh, my gosh. And they have one of my favorite desserts, too. They have, like, it's, like, this almond-crusted cheesecake thing. Oh, my gosh.
I've had really good seared tuna there.
But yeah,
good steak too.
Yeah, I think if I can only go to like one restaurant,
yeah, that's my one. It's just now, that atmosphere and everything about it.
Of course, you've gotten to go to like the ridiculous restaurant for your honeymoon,
the best restaurant I've ever been to and probably ever will go to.
And it's like, yeah, this is like a whole different level.
Victoria and Albert's, they recently changed the format of this, so I don't know how different it is, but at least when I went, they do two seatings a night. And it's very elegant. You know, jackets for men, dresses for the ladies is the dress code. No children, which is kind of nice.
Right.
You go inside, they bring you to your table. We ate in the main dining room. There's that. There's the Queen Victoria room, which is a little more secluded, smaller. And then there's the chef's table, which is literally in the kitchen.
Man.
Which is supposed to be incredible. In the main dining room, there is a harpist playing. You get two waiters. And our duo happened to be a married couple. So, you know, they see a young couple on their honeymoon. And, we were, like, their best friends.
Right.
So, it's a 10-course menu. You can optionally add a wine pairing with each course, which we did. And with a couple exceptions, like the first dish, you got to choose from one of two items for each course. So, Jessica and I try to, like, choose opposite each other as long as we were cool with it so we could kind of try everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the main course, they explained to me that in addition to what was listed, and that had like three or four choices, you may also optionally get a course of genuine Kobe beef filet for an additional like $80.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, oh, that's tempting. Then he said, or if you'd like, because a lot of people have requested this in the past, for an additional $35, we'll give you a tasting of the Kobe beef in addition to your course. I was like, yes, please.
There you go.
Then he's like, how do you want that cooked? I was like, hardly at all. Like, tell him to set it down and pick it up. Right. Like, Mike, you don't understand.
I'm sure.
You don't understand. So, I mean, we go through this entire meal, and it's wonderful. Like, they explain every dish to you in great detail. Sure. They explain the wine, why it's paired. There were three bread courses presented throughout. And, like, they bring the one bread course that was like a grain bread. And they're like, yes, our pastry chef, he's actually from Romania or something like that. And once a year, he goes home to visit family, and he stocks up on local grains and herbs and brings them back. And that's what this bread is made out of. I'm like, it's an honor to eat it. As I'm like,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So then we got to the end of the meal where we were recommended everywhere we read to get the coffee service. And they had this very unique brewing system where it is two glass globes on top of each other with a stopper in between them. Coffee grounds in the top globe, water in the bottom. They light a candle. So the steam gets through the stopper into the top and starts steeping with the coffee. It creates a vacuum in the bottom because the water is evaporating out, which eventually will pull the now coffee back through the stopper, making the best cup of coffee you've ever had in your life.
Jesus.
So we're literally sitting there, and I was like, man, I would pay $50 just to be able to sit here for another half hour. That's when they asked us if we wanted an after-dinner drink. So I said, absolutely, yeah, we'll take a look at the menu. So he brings us the drink menus, and he goes to Jessica, and she's like, you know, really, do you have DiSerrone? I'm just like, a DiSerrone on the rocks. He said, yeah, no problem, we got that. he comes to me. He's like, anything for you, sir? I was like, oh, I'm flipping through here. Do you guys have a Scotch menu? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a big Scotch fan myself. It's right here. I've had them all. If you have any questions, just let me know. So I'm looking at it, and Jessica's like, what are you going to get? And I said, well, they have a 14-year-old Oban I've had before. It's pretty good. I think I'll get that. It was like $30. I'm like, oh, that's expensive.
Yeah.
Jessica goes, out of curiosity, what's the most expensive Scotch in the menu? And I'm like, well, they have a 30-year Macallan. It's $200 for 2 ounces. She, who, keep in mind, is pretty drunk at this point.
Yeah, probably.
Looks me dead in the eye, just says, get it.
Oh my
and I
God.
Was like, excuse me? She's like, I'm never going to say this again. I'm telling you now, get that Scotch.
Oh, my God.
So he comes back, sir, have you made a choice? I'm like, I'm going to do the 30-year Macallan. Absolutely, sir. He goes back. He brings it out on a cart.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. There's a cart with a glass and my bottle of Scotch. And he's like, yeah, before he's like, you want on the rocks? I was like, no, neat, neat. So he has like the little 2 ounce jigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
He takes the cork, and it is a cork in this bottle, and he's like sniffing the cork himself. He pours the 2 ounces, puts it in the glass, and literally like looks left, looks right, and then tops off the glass a little bit. Like literally another $100 worth of Scotch.
Oh my God.
I pick up the glass. I mentioned there's a harpist in the room. I shit you not, as I pick up the glass, she starts to play Margaritaville on the harp.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like openly weeping at this point. And like, I always thought to myself, there can't be a big difference in $200 Scotch. It's kind of a big difference.
It is a difference.
It was so good.
No, oh, man.
So yeah, that is hands down the best meal of my life. And
well, there you go.
Will probably never be topped.
Yeah. Well, do you think that's something I could actually do, or do you think I'm just too picky?
No, well, that is part of the trick of it. You have to be willing to trust that this is literally the best food in the world.
But usually I'm pretty good when, like, good people are making my food.
Right,
I'll eat
and that's what it is. Like, I had a scallop. I hate scallops. Right. I think they're chewy, they're tough, they're gross. But these guys know how to fucking make a scallop, you know? It's not like getting a scallop at Outback.
What's that scallop with the soft A?
That's how you say it.
Scallop.
It's a scallop. Okay.
Okay. Every time you say it, it's funny to me.
Would you like a pint of beer with it?
All right. Scallop.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I ate the scallop, and it was phenomenal. I don't like scallops or scallops, okay. Or whatever you want to say. So, yeah.
That's great. Matt, you might be right. It's just funny sounding. So, all right. So, so we're at the end here. Do you have one that is your favorite of those three?
Well, I mean, obviously, the Grand Floridian is, like, the nicest thing in Disney World, but I think just from, like, a kind of personal thing, I love the Polynesian.
Yeah, Polynesian is great.
I love the
theme
of it.
These are all three just great. If you're staying at any of them, you're fine.
Yeah, you're doing good. Yeah, good for you.
Exactly. And again, like, you know, that Monroe access, they all have their own little, like, boats and
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, the Marinas are super fun. We've done that a lot over the years, where you just get a little water mouse boat and go out in the lagoon.
We never did a thing where we got, like, a bigger boat and, like, all went out together.
No, we never really have.
That'd be fun.
And they do, like, fireworks cruises now and all kinds of fun things.
Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, we could do a special zone, but I just been playing more World of Warcraft, so.
Yep, a lot of World of Warcraft.
A lot of World of Warcraft getting
The next new wing of Hearthstone came out.
A lot of the same old, same old.
Yeah. Man, World of Warcraft so good. Comes out next week. I'm so excited.
I know, it's funny how much I've been playing before the actual game comes out.
Right?
All right, so thanks for listening to the Explain Bro podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store, the Google Play Store. And, we'll see you next week.
Right here
on the Explain Bro podcast. Bye-bye.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.